The U.S. Army wants to know how it compares with its allies and enemies so it can determine which of its fielded systems are performing comparatively well and what needs to get better. To conduct that analysis, leaders turned to the RAND Corporation, which had the challenge of assessing the world's armies based entirely on open-source information and distilling it all into a detailed but still unclassified report. John Gordon is a senior policy analyst at RAND and one of the authors of that report, Comparing U.S. Army Systems with Foreign Counterparts. He's joining us here for a few minutes to share some of the key insights. Hi there, John. Thanks for coming on.
Hello, Jared. How are you this afternoon?
Great, thanks. So what was the Army G8 after in commissioning this report? I mean, we hear quite a bit that the U.S. Army is the most capable fighting force in the world. Is there concern that maybe that edge is shrinking?
No, well, I think the Army and our research helped reinforce what I'm about to say, that in overall terms, of all the myriad of things a modern Army has to do, aviation capability, armored fighting vehicles, field artillery, air defense, logistics systems that make all that stuff work and operate together, I think the U.S. Army has the most fulsome set of capabilities of any Army in the world, and the research really did show that. It demonstrated that. That said, we did look at all those different areas that I just mentioned, and you know, we were comparing individual U.S. Army weapons, different platforms, to include some of their munitions that they fire, with their foreign counterparts. And we did observe there were cases where, you know, in selected areas, there were other armies around the world, some of whom are our friends, others could be our potential competitors, which do have some selected edges in some different areas. And so the report that we did for the Army, which was publicly available, it's available on RAND's website, just came out a couple of months ago, in fact. We lay out all these different areas that we conducted the research in. We show some examples of the foreign weapon systems that we looked at, or not all weapon systems, some were logistics systems, as I mentioned. And we say, how do those stack up with the capabilities that the U.S. Army has? And when we highlighted areas where we identified areas where some foreign army, you know, may have something that the U.S. Army would really want to take a look at to see if they want to emulate or copy or gain a similar capability, we really highlighted that to the U.S. Army.
Right. And as you suggest, as I look through the report, I don't see anything in there that makes you say, oh, my God, here's a huge capability gap that we need a Manhattan Project to address. But you do point out some niches. What are some of the most striking things to you that we should be thinking more about?
Yeah. And I think some of this stuff is a byproduct of the fact that over the last dozen or more years, the Army and the U.S. Marine Corps also, both of them, as was the case during the Vietnam years, they really had to focus a lot of their attention on counterinsurgency operations.
Mm-hmm.
So while we were doing that, other armies had an opportunity to move out smartly in certain areas that are not necessarily related to counterinsurgency. And by the way, as you just heard me allude to, that's very similar to what happened during the Vietnam years. You know, while the Army was immersed in counterinsurgency in Vietnam, you know, the Soviets in particular were doing things that, you know, because they didn't have to worry about fighting a protracted counterinsurgency operation the way we did. So, for example, what we noted was that in the last decade or so, the U.S. Army really hasn't had to put a lot of emphasis on field artillery systems. And, you know, I personally happen to be a former field artillery officer in the U.S. Army. And so they, in particular, an example that you may have noted in our report, the Russians and Chinese, for example, have fielded a fleet of very, very capable, very long-range rocket launchers. These are truck-mounted systems. Typically, they have anywhere from 6 to about a dozen rockets on the back of the truck. And the U.S. Army has a similar system, which they first fielded back in the 1980s, called the Multiple Launch Rocket System. And they're very proud of the fact that the current U.S. Army system can fire about 80 kilometers. But the Russian systems are now going well over 100. And the latest Chinese systems are capable of reaching over 200 kilometers and maybe out to around 300 kilometers within the next few years. And in addition to that, that, they have very, very, very long ranges, and they fire quite a wide variety of warhead types, much more so than are available to the U.S. Army system. So that's an example of an area where we highlighted to the Army, hey, look, you didn't have to worry much about field artillery during the last 12 years of counterinsurgency. While you were doing counterinsurgency, some of our other friends and potential competitors around the world were developing some capabilities, which in some selected areas, they're pulling out ahead of you.
Yeah, and I do want to point out that even though you're emphasizing the need to sharpen that focus on the ability to handle things like field artillery, you are not suggesting that the Army get out of the counterinsurgency business altogether.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, in fact, you point out that, you know, urban warfare is likely to be an enduring feature, right? So the Army's got to do both.
Yeah, they have to be prepared for the whole suite of what many writers would call the range of military operations, which goes from high-intensity combat against the armed forces of another nation state down to counterinsurgency and support for counterterrorism operations. So, you know, again, being the ground force of a superpower, they really have to be prepared for this entire gamut of operations that they could face. And it's not surprising that they would have emphasized the COIN-type capabilities, counterinsurgency-type capabilities, because of what they were doing in the last 10 or 12 years. Now they're starting to devote more attention to, okay, we now need to think more about conventional combat against potential opponents. And again, in our report, we highlighted some areas where, we suggest the Army take a good hard look at some of the developments in the last few years and think about what their options might be.
Just going back to the point that this was all open source information and you produced an unclassified report, seems to me that's probably comparatively easier when we're looking at NATO allies than when we're looking at China and Russia, where at least my impression is that public discussion about the details of military capability is less robust than it is here. How hard was it to do this in an open source way with those countries?
Yeah, it certainly is more challenging for them compared to the Western nations. Although I will say this, that the Russians and Chinese like selling weapons. And, this is not the Soviet Union, the cloistered Soviet Union of the Cold War era. You know, the Russian military, it's considerably smaller than the Soviet Army, but the Russian military they're out and about around the world selling weapon systems on the market, as are the Chinese. And they like to boast about the capabilities of their various weapons, whether it's tanks or airplanes or artillery pieces or anti-tank weapons, whatever it may be. And so, they put out a surprising amount of information in open sources that certainly is, there's enough of it and of sufficient detail, you can say, okay, even though we might not have all the classified details on some Chinese rocket launcher, let's look at their advertising in open source in terms of the range, the number of rounds it can fire, the variety of warheads that it can launch, and that's good enough to do a meaningful comparison with a comparable U.S. Army system.
Looks like your study plan changed a little bit as you went. Mission Command, which is obviously a really important part of what any modern Army does, was supposed to be part of the study, but it sounds like that just seemed like it was too much to bite off.
Yeah, and there are a couple reasons for that. It's a very, very technically intensive topic to look at the command and control systems of different armies. We discovered very quickly that it would be very, very difficult to do the study without getting into classified areas. And of course, our intent was to keep this an unclassified report. So that was one of the considerations. One, we discovered this was going to be very technical, very fast. It was almost certainly going to have to go into classified realm, and we wanted to avoid that. And then, so when we raised those issues with the Army General and the Pentagon, who is our sponsor, what he asked us to do was to move the Mission Command work into a separate study, which we did. And then instead of that, substitute in the report, and there's a lengthy chapter in the report, which you probably noticed, comparing U.S. Army infantry squads to the infantry squads of other armies.
Right.
And so the general said, can you please do that in lieu of the Mission Command study? And we ended up with a large section of our report comparing the U.S. Army infantry to their foreign counterparts.
Aside from just assessing various Army capabilities, you also came out with some recommendations in the end. Any of those that you would particularly want to highlight here?
Yeah, well, the rocket launcher issue that I mentioned earlier, we suggested to the Army that they need to take a look to see if they need to emulate the these long range rockets of that are becoming increasingly common around the world. From the Army's perspective, the issue could be, all right, do we want to go down exactly the same path as our foreign counterparts, or in the American case, should we rely, for example, on airplanes? You know, should the United States Army rely on air support from the Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps to do the kind of things that some of these foreign rocket launchers are doing? But we also suggest, so in terms of emulating foreign capability, kind of suggested to the Army that they need to think about that. You know, do you want to go down this path, or do you want to rely on the other services to provide that sort of capability for you? But in addition to that, we said you're going to have an increasing need to defend against these things. That, you know, enemy rocket launchers that can threaten us from, you know, 150 or more kilometers away, that's a potentially very, very serious threat to ground operations.
Sure.
So we said to the Army, you know, as these things proliferate, you know, as they're being sold to various countries around the world, this is something that you need to take very, very seriously in terms of countering that threat. And I know that message has resonated with a lot of folks in the Army that we've talked to about this study.